What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Two down, bottom nine, 6-4 Red Sox. Tying run at the plate. Pitch is a high fly into left field. Duran, though, has room, backing up to his left. He's there to make the play, and the ball game is over. The Red Sox come to D.C., and they sweep the Nationals in the nation's capital. They're back above 500. Rafaela and Story homer to back Garrett Crochet, and the Red Sox roll in Washington.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Don't sleep on the Red Sox, Keith. Don't you dare.
I'm not. I'm wide awake.
5 out of 6.
Rolling.
Sweeping D.C.
Yeah.
Offense rolling.
Yes.
Big week. Big week. They got 3 with the Rockies at Fenway. 4 more against Tampa this weekend. And then it's the All-Star break. And I feel like we ride this roller coaster with the Red Sox. And maybe, I'm falling for it again. Wouldn't be the first time. But they're back a game over 500. They are 2.5 out of a wild card spot. You said this earlier, Keith. There's no one to leapfrog. It's just them.
Nope.
Next up in that wild card spot. They're back to 500 without Devers. Oh, by the way, they're 9-9 since the trade. A lot of those wins are recent, obviously.
Yeah.
But maybe they're figuring a little something out. They're about to get Bregman back, you'd hope. Yoshida, maybe reinforcements at the trade deadline. I don't know. It feels like arrow pointing up. Is that a mistake to buy it?
No, not a mistake. I don't think it's a mistake. And it's funny, the teams that they are looking up at, they've played pretty well against. Seattle, New York, Tampa Bay, those teams that are in front of them, or at least recently, they've played well against those teams. And right now you're saying they need to take advantage of the bad teams, which unfortunately they haven't been able to do. They just did against Washington, so that's great. Washington's a last-place team. They just swept them, so that's good. You're going to play maybe the worst team in the history of baseball. When it's all said and done, they might be the worst in the 500 years of Major League Baseball. This might be the worst team, the Colorado Rockies.
Who, again, they're a minus 229, I think. I don't have it in front of me. Run differential, if I remember that right. It's on pace to be by far the worst in modern baseball history, meaning since 1900.
Just trash.
Yeah.
And then you have a 4-game series going into the All-Star break against Tampa Bay, and depending on how that series goes, you might pass them to take a wild card spot in that very series. Like, they're one of the teams that's in front of you. So, yeah, I'm not saying the team is a wagon and, like, put all your money on them making the playoffs, but we've been pretty optimistic about them most of the year. Trust me, they've had their big-time issues.
They've mostly let me down, but yes.
They have.
Yeah.
But they have a Cy Young candidate. They have a lights-out closer. And, unfortunately, they have, like, a real streaky offense, which you saw it against Washington. Great. They scored 27 runs or whatever it was in 3 games. They've also had series where they score 4 or 5 runs and they're scraping together games with 2, 3, 4 hits. You're like, all right, I don't really know what this team is. But right now you have a couple of guys kind of carrying their offense, and Seidon Rafaela, Trevor Story. You have sort of the anticipation of Alex Bregman coming back at some point. Guy's an all-star, by the way. And then some of these young guys, they're like, if they can kind of get going or even have streaky kind of weeks themselves, will that be enough? Not that they're an all-time team, but can they be better than the Mariners? Can they be better than the Tampa Bay Rays? Yeah, I think so. Because to me, that's the cutoff. Like, just get into the playoffs. Get back to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. Can you do that? I would say yes.
You're 3.5 back of Tampa. You're 2.5 back of Seattle. You're 3.5 back, as you said, yeah, with New York. Against Seattle this year, they're 500, 3-3. I think they're done with the Mariners, right?
I think they are.
Tampa, they're 4-2. Yankees, they won 5 out of 6.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I don't think any of that's crazy to say they're going to turn it around. I guess the one thing you could throw in my face is every time they have a little upswing,
100%,
I buy in.
Yep.
Then there's another downswing right around the corner. And, you know, Sam Kennedy said, you'll hear it coming up. He said this last week on this radio station at the final Greg Hill Roadshow last week up on Lake Winnipesaukee. They got to play better baseball to be all in at the trade deadline. And so they're playing better baseball. And I just wouldn't dismiss this weekend because the Rockies stink. I'm sorry, because the Nationals stink, rather. They have had trouble with the Angels, yeah, and the White Sox of the world.
They don't just get automatic wins.
They haven't beaten up on the teams they should. This right. weekend they did. Hopefully that continues against the Rockies, and then let's let it shake out against Tampa this weekend heading into the All-Star break. But I don't think there's any reason, based on the way they're playing lately, to rule them out. We were all down on the offense. How are they going to score without Rafael Devers? All of a sudden they're sixth in baseball in runs scored. And it feels like the lineup has a little depth to it because Rafael mm-hmm. is going. Story's going. Anthony is figuring it out. Maybe, just maybe, you'll get Bregman and Yoshida and guys like this back. Abreu's already back. It feels like all of a sudden there's a little bit of depth to their lineup where yeah. that, just a couple weeks ago, felt like there was nothing there.
And also, you know, on the other side of it, Lucas Giolito's pitched pretty well as of late. So it's not just a one-man rotation, which at times it sort of has felt like. And so if you have another arm or even two that is sort of helping out, that goes a long way. You wonder, like, they were really bad in the month of May. They were 6 games under 500 in May. They were 5 up in April. They were 2 up in June, and they're currently already 3 up in July. So is May sort of an outlier?
They were 5 games over 500 in April.
They were 16-11, so they got off to a bad March.
Oh, okay.
So that's
sorry.
Why the
so
number.
I was going to say,
no, I'm separating that. I'm just doing calendar.
So bad March, bad May.
Bad March.
Look out for the M months.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So those are done.
There's no more of those, right? I'm just going through it quick.
August? No. August.
Okay.
No, but I'm just saying, like, is that going to be sort of the out? Like, March was, you know, that was when Devers was 0-for with 1,000 strikeouts, and they just got off to a terrible start. But then April, they kind of righted the ship a little bit, and then they're out to a good start
okay.
right now.
That's a good way of thinking about it.
Maybe it's a horrible month.
Winning record in April, winning record in June, off to a good start in July.
I'll take it.
Maybe May was the outlier where, you know, your Rafael Devers was being a baby and acting up.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a direct correlation to it, quite frankly.
Too. And so they've also, speaking of Devers, they were on a kind of a high note, right? They had just swept the Yankees. They had gotten above 500, and then they trade him away. And you're like, it was shocking to everybody, whether you liked it, hated it, or whatever. Like, it was surprising, the timing. And then they win their first game after that, and you're like, oh, they're not going to have any problems. And then they did. They had plenty of problems, and they couldn't score runs, and they were losing games. They got swept by the Angels, and it was kind of a mess. But since then, maybe they've played enough games now. Have they kind of righted the ship where it's like, all right, this is what our team is, and the Devers stuff, like, we're not being asked about Devers anymore. Cora's not being asked about Devers anymore, and we can kind of, like, really push forward without this guy in the clubhouse anymore, or even the conversation around it is kind of gone.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like that's quieted out for sure. I have one gripe about yesterday. You know,
yeah,
Friday and Saturday were pretty easy wins. You look at their bullpen now, Keith, and they have some flexibility. Cora's done this a couple of times with Chapman.
Yeah,
where you could bring him in the eighth. They did that yesterday. They brought him in to face James Wood, who's an all-star.
Yeah,
they made sure to do that.
Then, here comes Jordan Hicks.
Then they brought in Jordan Hicks.
Here comes the Hickster.
Which, you know, he got the save yesterday, but it was far from easy. He got Josh Bell the line out on a bullet.
Yeah.
He then walked the next batter. He got a strikeout, but then mixed in a wild pitch, RBI single.
Harrison Hicks. They both suck.
I mean, it was just
probably right.
Absolute.
Probably right.
Absolute. Roller coaster's probably too strong, but no. Like a bit of a tightrope act yesterday out of Jordan Hicks.
Yeah.
But okay.
Lock that save down, though.
They're feeling some ability to move around Aroldis Chapman and match up at the end of games. The problem is, who's going to come? Weissert continues to just get his face ripped off.
Yeah, not
and
great.
So I think you look at that yesterday, maybe there's a little gripe there. Their last loss against the Reds, the only loss in these last six, was brutal.
That's tough. They should have, right.
Where they still can't field or throw to bases or even know which base to throw to. Like, they're still confused by that. But in general, the arrow seems like it's pointing up on this team. And it's a portion of the schedule that they should be able to take advantage of. If they can actually take advantage of the schedule, they haven't been good enough to do that earlier this year. If they can actually take advantage of the schedule, that would be a sign of maybe some progress from this team.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think, like you said, they're 3.5 games back of the Yankees and the Rays, who are currently tied for second. You know, the Blue Jays have just gone on this crazy winning streak, and they've taken off. They're in first place. But the Yankees were way out in front of everybody for the longest time. Now they're sinking like a stone.
Yep.
And when they played the Red Sox head-to-head, and the Red Sox are part of the reason why the Yankees have been a mess as of late, you just looked at their lineup and you looked at their rotation. You're like, how do they even win all these games? Like, there's not a lot of great teams in baseball, let alone in the American League. I mean, I guess you would look at the Tigers, Astros, Blue Jays, like the three division winners, like they're or leaders, pretty good teams. But then after that, it should be wide open, and the Red Sox should be right in that mix.
Text line asks, how about some credit for Alex Cora? I fired him earlier this year. Fired him in the past.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
He was on the hot seat this year.
Oh, hot seat. The seat was hot.
How about some credit for Cora for the turnaround, navigating the waters after the Devers trade? That's fair to give him some credit if you want.
Yeah, I will. I mean, they bottomed out. Maybe that was a bottoming out when they were, you know, losing to Devers and the Giants and getting swept by the Angels. Maybe that was that. I'll be happy to give him more credit these next seven games and how they go. So three with the Rockies, three with the Rays. I think you kind of need to go 5-2.
Four with the Rays. Yeah. But 5-2. You're right.
Right. 5-2.
Yeah.
So
seven total games. Yeah.
5+2. So if they go 5-2, no matter how you slice it, I'll be like, all right, now you're what, four games over 500 at the All-Star break? My guess is you're not going to be any worse than where you are. Maybe you're even a game out of a wild card spot. Then I'll say, all right, yeah, Cora kind of weathered the storm. Like, he didn't do a very good job with the Devers thing. Like, that was kind of, it kind of became a giant mess in large part because of him, but that's over with. That's behind you. He's gone. You still have a whole season to play. How do you do with it? And if they're at that spot, at that point I'd give him more credit.
So the question again becomes, how do they approach the trade deadline? And you guys can weigh in on this, 617-779-7937. You know, what do they do leading up to the deadline? Sam Kennedy said last week it's going to matter how they play going into the All-Star break. The name that continues to be out there, and this was over the weekend from Bob Nightingale, it was again today from Jason Stark, the idea that Jarren Duran is a piece that teams are lining up and looking at as arguably the best outfielder that could move at the deadline. We go back to some of those top deadline name lists from The Athletic and from Jeff Passan. He was one or two on those lists. So people are bracing for that. I guess if you're getting a real return, the way Jason Stark made it sound is that it wasn't a fire sale. It was more reorganizing your roster to get it to fit, which I would take as you're trading Duran. You're going to play Anthony, Rafaela, and Abreu every day in the outfield, and you're going to get some pitching help. I could talk myself into it. I don't want them just to sell him just to move on and bring in some prospects, and there's going to be a lot of eyes on Craig Breslow at this trade deadline. He had a pretty good offseason. People didn't want to give him any credit for it. He's had a good offseason.
Yeah.
He had a terrible, terrible trade deadline last year where he tried to buy in a small way, and it blew up in his face.
Terrible, yeah.
He's got to do better with that this year, but that's if ownership and Sam Kennedy let him add. They should be adding to this team.
Yeah, and if you're going to add something of consequence, it feels like it's going to be a top prospect, which I don't know if they want to dip back into that. Right, and first of all, your top prospects now are actually at the major league level, so it'd be like the next wave down.
Right.
And you already traded Kyle Teal.
I think Breslow would – Kyle Teal's the perfect name to bring up. I think Breslow would do that.
Would he trade the password?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think he might
have to, because there's a log jamming out.
Yeah, a lot of outfielders.
But that's also where Jarren Duran, so, right, it's either a top prospect or it's a guy that is on your major league roster, which they didn't do last year. So they brought in all these players, but it was all prospects for the most part we hadn't heard of or and certainly wasn't anybody off the active roster. So if you trade Jaren Duran and you get prospects back, then that is a sign of, or you're not buying on this team at all. Like, you're kind of, in fact, selling on the team. But if you bring back another player of significance, like a number two starter behind Garrett Crochet, then all right, that means you really truly believe in Roman Anthony for this season, and you think that you're better off in the long run to do this. Because, you know, what is Jaren Duran? Like, last year, electric. He was your leadoff hitter every single game. He was an all-star. He was the all-star game MVP and finished eighth in the MVP. This year, barely an average player. You're moving him out of the leadoff spot some nights. He's shaky in the field. He's running into outs. So are you projecting him to go back to form, or is this the form? Like, I wonder how Breslow really feels about Duran. We know that he said Cassis was a 41-10 guy.
True.
I don't know what he really thinks Duran is.
But it sounds like there's a market for him, right?
Which means at least with the Padres, that name comes up a lot.
But he was number one on the Athletic trade list. Yeah, he was number two on Passan's list after Bregman. So it does sound like there's a market, which to me makes me want to bet on the side of him bouncing back. It sounds like teams are lining up to bet on a bounce back. Maybe they just think they're buying low.
Right.
But if you think you're buying low, you think there's more there.
But if you get like a stud pitcher back.
Yeah. By the way, that's not Alcantara. I said this earlier.
Shelled, apparently.
I thought he had started to turn it around. Wrong.
Yeah.
So he's been bad. I mentioned when we talked about the approach for the Red Sox on the clock a couple of weeks ago, Edward Cabrera is an interesting name in Miami. He's pitched well. We've talked about the Seattle pitchers. You went through the San Diego pitchers earlier today, Keith.
If they got Nick Pivetta back, and he is having a good year.
He is.
But how demoralizing would that be?
I want nothing to do with Nick Pivetta.
That'd be devastating. So, yeah, I mean, you asked me a couple of months ago, I would have been like, no way in hell do you trade Jaren Duran. Now I'm at least more open to it depending on what the return is. But I'm not just like, I'm not trading him because you're like, man, we got three other good outfielders. Well, like, based off of last year, he should be the best of those four, at least for this year and maybe even next, right? Until whenever you think Roman Anthony's really ready to kind of take off. But, like, you can't ignore the fact that, you know, his OPS is under 100 points lower than what it was last year. You know, he's on pace for half as many home runs as he was last year. And he's regressed in the field.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. And it's like, it's not like he's running the bases well or fielding well to make up for weathering the storm on underachieving at the plate. He's doing all those things worse.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say none of that's ideal. I'm not selling him just to sell. But if you're telling me I can get a stud pitcher, I get it. Because it also lets you play the same configuration in the outfield every day.
Yep.
You can still mix in Ref Snyder here and there. You know, I'm sure whenever Christian Campbell comes back, if he comes back, you know, he's going to mix in somewhere, maybe in the outfield, maybe in the first base mix as well. Maybe you want some flexibility at DH with him. Never mind Yoshida coming back. And that's not, by the way, what I think they're going to do, Keith, and you said this earlier and it's accurate, what I think they're going to do to justify not buying at the trade deadline, or what I'm afraid they're going to do, is what I was just saying. You should add on top of the return of Bregman, the return of Yoshida, Campbell coming back up from Worcester, Harrison on the pitching side. You should be looking to add independent of all that. But I am worried and bracing for that to be justification for not doing anything at the deadline. That flood of names between Worcester and the IL coming back to help the team.
I also wonder at some point, if these guys all stay healthy, is there a breaking point for Cora, maybe even more so than Breslow, with those outfielders? So right now, like, having four, what you consider four everyday outfielders, and trying to like mix and match and be like, well, it's a lefty, so we can kind of change up a little bit versus getting those guys consistent regular at bats, right? Because yesterday, Abreu doesn't get the start, but then he comes in, he's a pinch hitter later in the game. So I wonder if that's just kind of more of a pain, because it's easy for us to be like, good problem to have. You have four outfielders. It's like, well, yeah, but when are they all going to play?
And I think the logic applies to the Devers trade as well, where it's just like Devers became a headache for everybody, including Cora, who I think was refusing to get involved in it for a long time.
Yeah.
But he became a headache, and figuring out who's playing and keeping everybody happy might be a bit of, that's the job for Cora, but it would make his job easier to move on from that. And I am somewhat confident in Roman Anthony now, Keith. We for a while were tracking.
Oh yeah, no.
Is he going to hit 200? Is he even going to be hitting
now
over 100?
Yeah,
it's like, okay, now that looks like a guy who, actually belongs, and he's not riding that roller coaster of, are you a major leaguer yet, or do you need more seasoning in AAA like Christian Campbell? I feel like Meyer's walking that line right now, too.
Yeah.
So, Anthony, I feel pretty confident in. Maybe they've seen enough where that makes Duran expendable in the right trade, but their approach over the next couple of weeks is very interesting, and it's fully informed by how they play against Colorado and Tampa Bay. If they continue to play well, it's going to be hard to justify not adding at the trade deadline.
I don't know if you agree with this at all. Text line says, Duran's performance this year has probably been impacted by all the trade rumors, switching outfield positions, and being moved up and down the lineup.
No, I think all those other things were because he wasn't hitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like the trade rumors didn't start at the beginning of the year.
I mean, there were some in the offseason, but it didn't feel any with real traction.
Yeah, it didn't feel like anything really was going to happen. And then I don't think he moved up and down the lineup until
they traded Devers.
Well, they traded Devers,
but
also
when he was not hitting leadoff anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And also he started.
The production
to suck.
Wasn't as good.
Exactly.
And he played left and center last year, and didn't really have a problem with that. Right, that was one of the guys that we sort of cited during the whole Devers drama. It was like every guy on the team, including Duran, who was better than you last year, was moving positions, you know, all the time.
Yeah, I'm with you, Keith. I think he was dropped in the order because of his lack of production. Not that affected him and hurt his production. And if it did, oh, by the way, then that says something about him. 617-779-7937. You guys can discuss the direction of the Red Sox heading into the trade deadline. Should they be buying? Should they be selling? And they do have three all-stars that they can thump their chest about, or at least someone can thump their chest about. We'll get to that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
A deal is in front of you guys 2 weeks from now, and it requires spending money and whatever, you know, whatever prospects, whatever, but it requires a commitment cash wise from the ball club. John Henry is on board, and you and everybody else is on board with that, with spending that money.
Absolutely. If it's a fit that helps us get to where we want to go, absolutely. We have the same mindset right now that we had in November, December, January, February, March, that led us to what we felt was a very productive and aggressive off season. That's so full stop, simple answer. But there is a second part of that answer, that we have to be realistic. I mean, if we don't go out and do the right things, we're and win baseball games over the next couple weeks, we're not going to be in a great position. So we need to start playing better baseball, get back to 500 and winning series, put ourselves in a position to add to this club at the deadline and go take a run at it. But it's impossible to guarantee anything here on July 3rd, because we have to go out and we got to play better.
So that was Sam Kennedy last week on with the Greg Hill Show. I would say that comment aged a little better, because in real time I was furious at that answer from Sam Kennedy. It's like, oh, well, you know, of course we're going to buy, but we got to play better baseball, or else let's be realistic, all these things. So now they won a series. They swept. They're above 500, and I feel like that sounds a little better than it did in real time when they were coming off a horrific loss against the Reds and they were still under 500. So I'm going to hold them to that. You're over 500. You just won a series. You got the Rockies coming up next. That means you should be buying, right? I mean, that's what I'm going to say.
It should. Same with going back a week ago when Craig Breslow was on the morning show and he was asked point blank, you know, would they be buyers right now? And he used a lot of words, and it was like pulling teeth a little bit. But they eventually got out of him that, yeah, he would, based on where they were. At the time, 2.5 games out. So, all right, fast forward to when the trade deadline is. If you're 2.5, 2, 1, whatever it is, it feels like you should be buying, based on everything that you've been saying up until this point. Was because the thing he said, which I kind of understand, was there's a lot of time between now and then. So, like, the statement I make now could change depending on where we're at in the standings. But if you're the exact same spot, which a week later you are, 2.5 out, and you've actually played better, you've dug yourself out of that hole of being under 500, and you've even passed teams, or teams have fallen below you, however you want to look at it, but you're ahead of a couple teams from even when you made that statement. So all signs are pointing to them being buyers, whatever it is, 3 weeks from now. But we'll see if they end up sticking to that.
It's a good point by the text line. It's not a full stop answer if there's a second part to the answer. He's like, stop. Yeah, we're going to be adding full stop.
Also.
But.
Allow me to continue.
Oh, by the way.
Like, huh?
And I get it. He doesn't want comments thrown back in his face. Yeah. I get that. Yeah, we're going to buy. And then we get to the trade deadline. They don't buy. And we go, well, what the hell? Sam said a month ago they're going to buy. I get why he doesn't want to answer it. But it is a weird just gray area about what they're going to do at the deadline. I think a lot of fans who've been following this team the last few years don't really think it's a gray area. They're not expecting them to buy. And if anything, there are more rumors they're going to sell with Jaron Duran than anything. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. A reminder, you can listen here on WEEI, or you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. A lot of choices to listen to Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Let's go to the phones. How about Wally in Fall River? Hello, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? I think they've turned the corner. This current homestand, they got to go 6-1. They can't go 3-4, 4-3. But they got a tough schedule after the All-Star game. But as far as making deals, they got to do something. The American League isn't that good. They're still in it. The Yankees are floundering. I mean, anything can happen. But you got to go out and get a legitimate first baseman. I don't want to see Yoshida there. I don't want to see Campbell there. I don't want to see Huey, Dewey, Louie, the bat boy, the bat girl. You got to get a legitimate power hitting first baseman who is Matt Olson of Atlanta. You'd have to give up probably Duran and a couple other minor league prospects. But you put him over there and you put him in the lineup with Abreu, Story, Bregman back. You got a good, decent middle of the lineup. As far as the pitching,
okay,
the
well, Wally, let's,
me is Sandy
Wally, let's stick with that thought for a second.
First of all, great reference to Huey,
Dewey, and Louie.
Dewey and Louie, of course, Donald Duck's nephews.
Yes.
Famously so.
Bat Boy and Bat Girl as well.
Bat Boy, Bat Girl.
A lot of good references.
You don't want pocket-sized Yoshida playing first base?
So I was just going to ask you.
Cute little first baseman's glove?
I'm just
a little mitt. Put like a little mitt on them over there. You don't want to see that.
You're like a new mom looking at baby shoes. Yeah, you're like, ah,
look how you can dress them up as a first baseman. Would that be fun?
Look at that little Yoshi glove
over there.
Nice.
Maybe a little scoop.
What's the plan at first? Like, I'm totally fine with them adding. Matt Olson feels like you're aiming high, but sure, if the Braves are selling, go ahead and add. What are they doing these days? But
I would add.
If he's really available, I would add. But
if not,
what do they do in the meantime? What's your first base plan? It's been a while since we talked about this. What's your first base plan?
I guess Meyer or Campbell. I think it might have to be one of those guys because
not Yoshida.
No, I don't think so. As adorable as it might be, I don't think so. I think you get – well, because Bregman's coming back up, and I know Meyer – well, Campbell obviously had his opportunity, and now they're going to, you know, see if he can get back to it. And same with, you know, with Meyer. I think Meyer would be willing to play anywhere. The question is his bat going to keep him in the lineup? Because he's been pretty good at third base, so how can he be first?
What's wild about – and he had the terrible game against the Reds, mm-hmm. like the whole team did.
Mm-hmm.
But – it's wild that he doesn't – I think he has a pretty strong arm. It's wild that he doesn't just throw it all the way up. Like, everything, like, is a two-hopper over to first base from third. I don't know what that is either.
Yeah.
It kind of works. I feel like they've been getting away with it where he's handcuffing first baseman and they're making plays, largely. But that it is wild to watch that. So maybe getting him certainly off of third when Bregman comes back, and maybe even – I have been championing keeping him at short even when Story – when Bregman comes back, bump Story over to second.
Yeah, Story's playing short.
Now Story's got to stick there. He's hitting and he's playing pretty well defensively. He's got to stick there.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world now, Story and Bregman are your left side of the infield when Bregman comes back, and that's just what it is. The right side is where you need all the help and all the different, you know, this isn't ideal for the development of Marcelo Meyer. However, if you're really fighting for a playoff spot, which they are right now and they should be throughout the season, do you end up platooning Meyer and Roman Anthony and sort of be like, hey, for this year, this is what you're doing. You're at the big league level. Sorry, you're not playing every single day. You'll play most days. You're going to play against righties in Meyer's case. And then Roman Anthony plays against lefties because that's what he does.
Roman Gonzalez.
What did I say? Roman Anthony?
Roman Anthony. Yeah, that's confusing.
The first time you said it, it did confuse me. But then you said
that's
it a second
super confusing.
Time. I'm like, you mean Roman Gonzalez.
No. Anthony's in the outfield playing every day. Done.
I was saying Roman Gonzalez and Marcelo Meyer end up platooning. And it's not how I would have drawn it up, but it's like, all right, well, too bad. Like, you're in it right now. You know, almost like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of another example. I guess Bogarts did play every day in 13, but he was playing out of position. He was playing at third base. So maybe now with Meyer, you're up here, but.
Even still, he was platooning, wasn't he?
Yeah, maybe he didn't play every day.
Steven Drew was in there.
No, Steven Drew was the shortstop, and then Bogarts was a third.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Got it.
So maybe he didn't even play every day. I forget, but I was saying, like, that's maybe what you do and say, hey, your big league at bats are going to help us. You're not going to play every single game the rest of the way, but you're more of a waste down in Worcester. Like, we know you can hit down there. Next year, hopefully, start of the season, you have a different sort of alignment and you do have a spot every day. But for this year, we're trying to make the playoffs. And if that means you're playing first or second base, then so be it.
It's a team that should
be.
Who
do you have at first?
Right now,
on the roster,
I think I leave Toro there right now.
Okay. The bull,
and then and then long term, if Campbell starts hitting in Worcester, I haven't really tracked it very close, but if Campbell's hitting in Worcester and you think he can play at first, I'm okay with trying that. I'm with you. I wouldn't play Yoshida there.
No, it's
and in fact, I'm a little afraid. Part of the reason they're shopping Duran, or at least there's a lot of rumors about Duran, is because not only do you clean up your logjam in the outfield, now you have a DH spot for Yoshida.
Yeah. Campbell, since he got sent down, hitting 200.
Okay, that's not
what
great.
Happened?
So that doesn't sound like any. I mean, right now I think it's Abraham.
Yeah, but
does
he hit the ball in the air though? At least is he taking
no,
big hacks?
I've actually seen some of like his hits, and they're just basically
what?
Late.
His first game was awesome, right? Didn't he like crush it his first game? So he's done like nothing since
he's
that first.
Really
game. He's interesting.
Cooled.
Interesting. So Toro would be my answer, and really Wally's probably on it. The Braves are 11 games over 500. Go try to find a first baseman. To piece it together. Here you go. This is Mike in Vermont on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Hey, you know, I don't believe anything that this management says. I think there's nothing but a smokescreen. The pattern has been they just nothing but payroll dumps. And to be honest with you, if they trade Duran, I'm just like, I'm so done with this management.
You're out.
And you haven't mentioned anything about the catcher. What, are you going to burn this guy out, Navarro out, and Wong, who hits like a little leaguer? So I think the first baseman has done a pretty good job, but, I mean, who have they got to offer? if they trade for, they're not going to get anybody big time because they
have prospects. They have
prospects and your guy Durant, I guess, is why you would do it. So
they have guys to deal.
I think there'd be reason
for Willier. He's not playing against lefties at all.
That's true. Stark actually mentioned in the same Duran story that Abreu is another name that's out there. He seemed to make it sound like, I think from what we've heard, Abreu is the more likely to keep. But that is another. I think they have plenty to trade, honest.
I'd rather trade Abreu than Duran. You get more in return, I would think, for Duran. So that's why you'd have to be at least listen on that. But to answer the caller's question, they still have a really good farm system. Even if you remove like the big three and say they're keeping those three, even after that, there's real – I mean – every year at the deadline, good players go for team's fifth prospect or sixth prospect, right? It's not even always the top of the line guys that get dealt. So if you want to acquire either a first baseman or more starting pitching, you can do it.
We mentioned before, there's a lot on Breslow at the trade deadline because last year's deadline was miserable. The Red Sox have three All-Stars. They were all added this offseason, Keith.
They were.
In Crochet, Chapman, and Bregman, who's a questionable addition, if we're being honest, to the All-Star team, but he's on there.
Yeah.
All three were added this offseason. Is that a reason to believe in Craig Breslow as it relates to this trade deadline and his eye for talent?
So it was a good offseason, and I'll even throw in All-Star snub Carlos Narvaez, caller mentioned as a guy.
On the pile. Not Navarro.
No.
Narvaez.
Also added. So, no, I think that was a big check mark for Craig Breslow. Now, the deadline, when the team has been in it, and Chaim Bloom botched this, and is one of the main reasons he got fired, is because they would go, and it was just a disaster. Didn't really choose a direction, didn't really sell, didn't buy, and then they would just miss the playoffs. And then the team would be so impacted, and Alex Cora would be so impacted by the lack of anything, then they would just tank in August. So I give him full credit for this offseason. We were doing that before. We're like, how is the team not better when they added these three guys, four guys from last year, whether it was a trade or free agent signings, that were all big hits? Even a guy like Chapman, which we did not expect to be as big of a hit as it was, I give Breslow credit for that. So, like, that more than breaks the tie that he had with Chaim Bloom. Because last year's deadline was also kind of an eye roll. It was like, all right, I guess you did something, so we can't rip you for doing nothing. But you didn't bring in anybody that actually helped the team. And so let's see what he does at the end of this month. That's going to be pretty telling to me. But, yeah, the offseason was obviously a win for Breslow.
And the point you make is fair. They're obviously a more talented team than they've played. They have three All-Stars, which is one way of looking at it. We started the show. We were talking about, somebody said this to me, the leaders in WAR in the American League. They have four guys in the top 30 in the AL. It's Rafaela and Narvaez in the teens. Bregman still, despite missing 40 games,
crazy,
is 28th, and Crochet is just outside the top five in the top six, or sixth, rather. So they have the capability to play better than they have, and I think you could look at their run scoring differential as an indication that they haven't played up to their expectations, but again, they're running out of time to do it. Hopefully this weekend was the beginning of it, and it's an easy schedule, at least for three more games before you get Tampa heading into the break.
So three All-Stars you mentioned this year in Bregman, Crochet, and Chapman. Last year, they had three All-Stars. And this is the ultimate life comes at you fast. Do you remember who their three All-Stars were a year ago?
Okay, last year, Duran for sure.
Yep.
Hauk.
Yep. Devers.
Oh, it was Devers. I thought for some reason Devers didn't make it last year.
So, but didn't Kenley make it?
No, that might have been 2023.
Yeah, year before
But, like, think about that. So, you're bringing back Devers, Duran, and Hauk. Like, Hauk sucked and then got hurt. Jaron Duran, they might trade, and they already traded
and
Devers.
And Devers is gone.
It's wild.
Nice. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. A lot of Red Sox talk today. We'll get back to the Celtics at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. But coming up next, Jurassic World Rebirth. Spoiler free, it's a hashtag Dork Minute with Keith next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com.
We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
The show starts in one.
This is movie time.
Shang-Chi.
You've seen none?
None.
Me and Billy combined for one.
Billy's 100 years old.
I don't like comic book movies. I'm an old man.
Yes. Right.
You ever see the movie Dirk Diggler?
I did a movie with George Mures.
I'm going to give it a rock hard 5 out of 6.
Make sure you subscribe to the
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Oh, you know what that sound means, Jones.
Oh, yeah. I didn't until right there.
There's some sweet dino action on the way. That's right. It's the Dork Minute. We have the Jurassic World Rebirth spoiler-free review. Jurassic World Rebirth is the 4th Jurassic World movie and the 7th Jurassic movie. All in the same franchise. That's right. There's been 7 of these Jurassic films. It made $92 million over the weekend. It's up to $147 million because they had like the early release time because of, you know, the holiday. So number one, far and away, the number one movie at the box office. Rotten Tomatoes, 52% critics, 72% audience.
Okay, that's it better. That's better, though.
Yeah, it is PG-13, 2 hours and 14 minutes. Feels like 5 hours. This, I'll tell you what, folks, not great.
Oh, not, no.
I was very disappointed. I love dinosaurs.
So you're not in the 72% or whatever it was. You're outside that group.
No. I would, if you forced me into it, and we don't do this on the Dork Podcast. We grade things on a 6-stone scale. But if you were like thumbs up or thumbs down, thumbs down.
Oh, no.
I hate to do it. And I love, like most kids, dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs. I love dinosaur movies. I want to love them even more than they are. They've just given us a lot of bad ones. This franchise is very similar to like the Halloween franchise, where the original might be a perfect movie. Jurassic Park, I think, is one of the 10 greatest movies of all time.
Right?
Wow, a top 10 all-time film?
I think it might be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Great movie.
Great, okay, fine.
You.
Good movie.
Good movies are a dime a dozen. This is a great movie.
But after that, they all kind of...
They're all kind of crap.
All of them are crap. Not even like a decline. They're all just crap.
So it's a decline, but it's one of those lists where if you asked everybody that has seen all 7 Jurassic
Park movies.
To like rank them after rank the first them. One?
The first one would be the first one every single time.
Yep.
It'd be like no doubt.
And then mishmash.
I think it would be. Jurassic World, the first Chris Pratt one, I thought was a pretty good sort of reboot to the franchise.
Actually, that's even more to your Halloween thing. Halloween 2018, maybe. Probably the second best Halloween movie.
So that one jumps back up. That one's pretty good. I thought The Lost World was disappointing at the time following the high highs of the first Jurassic Park. This is the one with Vince Vaughn, Julianne Moore. I actually liked that one.
So that's
like,
two?
That's probably three.
No, saying, oh, yeah, that's two. The second one that came out.
Two overall is probably there. And then Jurassic World, the most recent sequel prior to this, was pretty bad. Dominion. It kind of lost me. Davey and I got in a good fight on the Dork podcast about Fallen Kingdom.
Oh.
Where I just said, listen, there was sweet dino action. And he was like, this is the biggest piece of crap movie I've ever seen.
So is that like the black market dino one?
Yes. I
believe that was horrible.
Fallen Kingdom was bad.
Oh, they're like selling dino. Well, I guess
they're always kind of dabbling
in the black market in that movie. Yeah.
Versus a corporation.
Yep.
That is the thing. It is like smart, like good scientists with a heart. Versus corporations without a heart.
Yeah,
they're just trying to make money off of these dinos.
Make a buck.
But there is cool stuff even in this one. And
so there is some sweet dino action.
There is. Not,
not enough.
Enough
of it.
No, okay. No, never okay. Enough.
Sweet
so dino
sweet
action.
Dino action, some ScarJo. That's so still not enough.
This might be the hottest take going.
Uh-oh.
Not a huge ScarJo fan.
Oh, boy.
I don't think Scarlett Johansson's that good of an actress.
Well, okay. I see.
No, she's very attractive, obviously. Yeah. And you know what's weird about her is I think she... Like, when she's on, like, Saturday Night Live, she's, like, really funny, and I think she has, like, a great, this is going to sound like an insult, seems like somebody with a really good personality, but also, like, no, but she's obviously super attractive, but yes. I think she's a bad actress, and I know she's, like, Academy Award nominated and all this stuff. She has a scene with Mahershala Ali, who's also a great actor, and it feels like you got, like, secondhand embarrassment. You're like, oh, my God. It was, like, cringy.
She shouldn't be on the same screen.
No, they were both bad. They were both just kind of bad. I was like, oh, my God. Like, they're trying to, like, shoehorn in a little bit of, like, hey, these two characters have a backstory. Like, let's hear from it. And you're like, ugh. So the premise of the movie is there is a corporation that needs DNA from three different dinos.
Nice.
But they need to be live dinos. Now, unfortunately, it's not that movie. That'd be a better movie.
That'd be a good movie.
I don't know how we're going to get this, guys.
I can be hard down low.
Yeah. No, this was... They needed blood. So, but they needed it from three specific dinos in order to then be able to create, like, this huge cure and whatever else. So they go...
Guess, one's a raptor, one's a T-Rex.
No.
Oh, really?
No. It's a water one, which is pretty sweet.
A water one.
A water one, a land one, and an air one.
Nice.
Different one. Land
Avatar? It's got to be pterodactyl.
But they do a mix of like...
What else is an air one?
Yeah, pterodactyl. Yeah, Tarragon.
Like,
there's a few different ones. Good. So they have both like old dinos, but then they also have like the mix. They tried like, you know, a hybrid, which has been sort of what they've done in the last bunch of movies. So you have a few real dinosaurs, a bunch of kind of fake ones. They also... shoehorn in like a family, which is like, come on.
A
like,
dino family?
No. Like a human family that's not with Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali. Because like Scarlett Johansson's like a mercenary, basically. I don't know. It's kind of a tough sell, if we're being honest. But
Widow. That makes sense.
It was pretty disappointing. You could make the case it's the worst of the dino films.
Oh my goodness.
It's probably more like fifth if you're ranking them 1 through 7. It's probably more fifth.
Top text. I hope this is not a spoiler alert. But the top text says, I enjoyed Rebirth.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Lots of things I would change. Doesn't sound like it's that great.
I changed most of it.
But I did enjoy the T-Rex river scene. Is that something to look forward to?
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, there is some sweet dino action. Like, the movie looks cool.
Okay.
And like you're going to want to see it on a big old screen or go see it in IMAX or whatever. So like there's cool stuff. It's hard to completely like mess up a dinosaur movie where there's zero enjoyment to it. But it just was not very, like, I wanted it to be so much better. The fact that Jurassic Park exists, where you can make an awesome movie with dinosaurs in it and really, like, highlight the dinosaurs, have scary scenes. They also tried a million times to rip off the first one. They're like, hey, people like the first one, so we're going to do that scene, but worse.
And then, with worse acting.
So then I was getting bummed out thinking, like, there are people in this theater that maybe haven't seen, like, a younger kid, maybe didn't see the first one, and they're watching this. Like, what a mess. Like, what? Like The
what a treat, though, when they actually see the first one, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, they wouldn't want to after watching this.
I see.
Like, the first dinosaur movie I saw was this one.
It's not a gateway into seeing the original. You're saying it would be a deterrent.
Might sour them.
Yeah.
Dinos aren't all they were cracked up to be.
Okay.
So, yeah, the human characters were pretty bad. The dinos were, you know, hit or miss. There's some good stuff, but, yeah, I was left kind of annoyed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Sadly. So did you? I don't want to spoil anything for the Dork Podcast tonight.
Have full you given it a grade? Tonight. Right now I'm leaning like 2.5 out of 6.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not.
Well, I'm an easier grader than you, Jones. I've never given out a zero.
Coming from
before.
An easy grader and the king of recency bias.
Yep.
That's low.
Yeah. That's
Nick
real
knows.
Low.
Dork listeners would know. 2.5 is low.
2.5 is low.
When's the last time you gave out something that low?
Joker. Fallout Adieu. I think got like a 1.
Wow, okay.
Madam Web got like a 1.
You ever gone half star?
I've never done half. No, the lowest.
I'll go half sometime. I don't go full. I go half.
So 1, I give you. If the movie is made, you get 1
okay.
stone.
There you go.
The fact that there's like dinosaurs in it, like there's another one.
Yeah, it's like writing your name on a test.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, there's a dinosaur in this? 1. So that's automatic. 2 is the lowest you can get.
Yeah, yeah.
And then half stone for Mahershala Ali.
Okay. There you go. I like that breakdown. So there you go. Don't rush out and see it.
No,
but that is the
no. Actually, a better use of your time is Sinners is now available on HBO Max. So just watch Sinners at home.
Both you and Nick watched it again
separately.
Yeah, you both watched it again this week.
We watched it together.
I drove out to Worcester, watched it with him.
So that is the hashtag Dork Minute with Rich Keefe. Jurassic World Rebirth, 2.5 stones. Not great.
No,
I'm being told that's low.
Sadly, no. But this is a big month for movies. We'll be back next week at this time for the Superman review.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
Nice. Feeling good about that?
I know what you did last summer, the week after that.
Yep. And I think, I know what you did last summer, and then Fantastic Four.
And all this month.
And Weapons.
5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Superman, I think, I trust James Gunn, so I think it's going to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looking up for movies and for the Red Sox as well. You can discuss 617-779-7937. We'll mix in more on the Celtics and their interest in Damian Lillard coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you.
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.